my 3 or 4 glasses of wine or anything. I mean, I had water.
The Ledge Council meeting, please come to order. Pam, would you please call the roll?
Representative Barnes. Representative Cott.
Here.
Representative Kabina.
Here.
Representative Masick.
Here.
Representative Ogun.
Here.
Representative Phillips.
Here.
Representative Porter.
Here.
Senator Green. Senator Hoffman.
Here.
Senator Kelly. Senator Lehman.
Here.
Senator Miller. Senator Pierce. Senator Sharp. 8 members present.
Good. We do have a quorum to conduct business. First item on today's agenda is the approval of the April 9th minutes.
Move to approve.
Motion is to approve. Is there any discussion, debate, questions? Is there any objection? Without objection, the April 9th minutes are approved. Next item is the lease renewal approval for the Bethel LIO, Senator Hoffman's office. Is there a motion, Senator Hoffman?
So, Madam Chair.
Any questions?
Any explanation, Pam? Is that the same, pretty much same as last year?
We did a lease extension back in 94, 10% reduction in the rent. This is the first renewal option, and we have one-year lease renewal option after this before we will go out to bid again.
Any objection? Okay, the Bethel LIO and Senator Hoffman's office is approved. Next is the Fairbanks LIO and the Interior Delegation offices. Is there a motion? There is a motion to approve. Any questions?
This also was a lease extension where we negotiated the 10% reduction in rent back in 1994. This is our first one-year renewal, and we have also one-year renewal left.
Any objections?
Pam, is that same price in effect?
Well, we were paying, I believe, $1.86 back in before the lease extension. So it is going up a little bit. You can see from $1.71 to $1.73, but we're paying a lot less than we were quite a few years ago because of the reduction in the rent.
Any objection?
Madam Speaker, can I just have a brief minute?
How many legislators use that office?
Let me think. There's 2 senators, and I believe it's 4 or 5 representatives, and we've been asked for Representative Nicolai to be using an office there, and those decisions will be made by leadership.
And there's a little office off the main LIO that I use when I go up there.
And I know Representative Nicolai was using that also before.
Is there any problem accommodating her up there?
Representative Nicolai? She could continue to use the LIO space, but it also, we've been talking with the presiding officers, and also we will be talking with Ledge Council Chair to decide just how that office use will be determined, whether Nicolai and Lincoln might share an office. That is an option, and those decisions would be made by leadership as to how we can accommodate.
We're doing the same thing with the Anchorage offices, trying to reduce the number of out of Anchorage legislators having offices there.
But you're going to, I'm sure, make sure that they've accommodated well enough that when their intent, she doesn't have, that's probably the closest she has to.
Yeah. There was a nice office that she was using there in the Fairbanks office when she would be in town. So it's just like our visit, if we had a visiting office in the Anchorage office for visiting legislators to come in and use.
I know it worked well for us, too.
I was not clear to me on what the issue was with Phillips Grips and BC. Was the intent to provide him an independent office in North Pole? Or?
Why that note is there, that's he was asking to have some additional space, and that also would be by leadership to decide to do that, in that he has right now two separate bays, but evidently he was sharing his office with a staff person, and he wanted to, and this came up not just this year, but last year, he wanted to take over the office that Senator Lincoln had, and he was not given permission to do that. And he's asking again to make kind of a switch, and that's up to leadership to decide that.
Right now, all we're deciding is whether or not to continue the lease on the whole space. We won't make that. Ledge Council will not make that decision. Okay, are there any questions on the lease space contract? Representative Vogan?
Just a clarification on the last thing out of this Representative Easy, this issue of his own separate office isn't a separate location. It's a different office within the lease space, right?
That is correct.
In the lease space.
Okay.
Is there any objection to the Fairbanks lease renewal? Okay, Fairbanks lease renewal is approved. Next one is the Sitka LIO, Representative Rusendorf's office.
Move to approve, Boo. That's Ben's only office.
Bob.
We could have meant that, put it out in the woods, Madam Chairman.
No, I just correct that. In the rainforest.
In the rainforest, right. Any problems, anything with it? Okay, is there any objection? Okay, the Sitka LIO space is confirmed. Our next piece of information, our next thing on the agenda, is the Legislative Council Subcommittee on Information Services, and Representative Cott's going to give us a full and detailed briefing.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Each of you were provided a copy of the report. The report is a culmination of several meetings that the Subcommittee on Information Technology had over the course of the last couple of months, based on primarily the Wasman and Associates study, and based on some discussions with a number of members from the legislature as well as with DP. We have some recommendations that we are forwarding to Ledge Council for consideration. And without going through each and every one of these in detail, I can suggest that we are conforming to a new set of standards that I think will benefit everyone involved, especially DP. So we'll all be reading from the same sheet of music. There are some software standards that we have come up with that I believe are acceptable to every member, and there is an allowance for non-standard software to accommodate those peculiar situations from time to time, and that will have to be approved by Ledge Council as far as the software standards go. The hardware standards have also been established. We're recommending that we purchase computers from one manufacturer. We conform to the 5M printer as the standard office printer, and that will accommodate both the Macs and the PCs. And the agency will continue to support the Apple Macintosh computers until they are in fact phased out, which gets me to the final and probably the most important issue that we address, and that was the hardware equipment. And based on the Wasman report, based on additional information that was supplied to us, it was a recommendation of the subcommittee that we convert from Macintosh to the PC. That's pretty much industry standard. I think when you look at where Mac is today and software requirements, who's producing, and the costs, it just is much more beneficial from our standpoint to pursue the PC route versus the Mac route, which we don't know where they're going to be in 2 to 3 years. With that, I'm sure we have also come up with a schedule for purchasing new computers. I think most of us, at least in the House side, are aware that some of the equipment that we have available is ancient, and I'm primarily talking about the SEs and the SE30s. We have a total of 106 of those still in the inventory. They're probably considered dinosaurs, and in fact, you can purchase on the open market. Looking through the classified section a couple of weeks ago, and there was an SE30 and printer available. It said good working order, so I assume it was operational for $75. So that's basically what we're operating with right now. Is a piece of equipment that's probably has a value of no more than the computer itself, probably $50-$60, with the printer $75. We've come up with a four-year schedule, and that is primarily mirroring what industry is doing out there right now. And they're using a four-year schedule for replacing their computers. The first set of computers that would be replaced, 106, and that would be in 1997, would be those SEs and SE30s and lower, to include the Mac 2s, which I think there are still a handful of those out there for them. The next 3 years, you'll see on the handout, in 1998, you go to 69, 1999, 59, and 2000, 35, and that will round out basically all of the computers and convert all the existing computers to PCs, primarily using the gateway as the vehicle for discussion, at least for purchasing and the costs associated with those PCs. We've broken it down between House and Senate just for your own edification, and the attachment 3 basically is the costs associated with the purchase of the PCs, and you'll see that we have opted to go to the higher end, the 200 megahertz. 65 with 41 of those, the mid-range PC, and it's our opinion that the 200 megahertz PC will accommodate this legislature and the existing software as well as any future software for the next 5 to 7 years if for some reason we get off this timetable and opt not to continue purchasing for whatever reason, primarily a shortfall in funding. You'll see the 200 and the 166s are just presented there for explanation purposes as far as what you get with those machines. And again, these are the price of this machine is based on a gateway model, and that still has not been determined. We'll go out for an RFP and get the best package that we possibly can get. The last attachment essentially is first it's an upfront 1 year cost, and that would convert the printers, upgrade the existing Macs, and we're primarily talking about the Power Macs, to 24 RAM and the cost associated with that. There's software bundles out there right now that we can't run without upgrading the RAM, and then the software licenses that will bring us into conformity with the licensing standards in the industry. That, Madam Chair, is basically the picture and the total cost for the conversion, as well and as well as the initial purchase for 1997. It's $351,613, and then 1998, $125,099, $107,000, and your 2000, which would complete the cycle, would be $63,000. The total cost is $648,000 over a four-year period, which again, the majority of that is absorbed in the first year. That's what the subcommittee recommends to the Ledge Council for their consideration and approval, and hopefully consideration built within the capital budget.
That's certainly a lower cost than what we were facing before we had that report done by the Wasserman Group. We'll take questions from everybody, but does that, are these figures based on the 200 series rather than the 166?
Right, the initial ones would be the 200 series, and then the 166s would be then the subsequent models for the remaining years.
For the same.
Like at least one 200 megahertz per office.
In every office.
And there is some possibility at a later point in time, we could operate a dummy terminal, potentially if the hardware and the software is available to us, which would mean you need one 200 megahertz machine, and you'd have a monitor and a keyboard, and everybody would be working off the same machine, which would subsequently lower the costs if that particular item became available during the next couple of years.
Is there any way we can save costs on the hardware also rather than buying, or the software rather than buying all of those? Can we just buy, can the legislature buy a package and then put that into everybody's offices without having to buy individual packages for everybody's offices?
Bill, you want to address that? I think.
Bill, why don't you come to the table?
I think that's what we're essentially doing.
Madam Speaker, the costs that we projected here include for the gateway machines include Microsoft Office, which is the application suite that has the word processor and the Excel spreadsheet. So, I'm sorry, could you repeat your question?
Is it, rather than see buying all these, quantity of all of these, is there any way we can buy a unit for the legislature as it's, as a body without having, or do, because of copyright laws, do we have to buy a program for every office's computer?
The way it stands right now, yes, we do have to buy a software for every computer. There is such a thing as a site license, but basically you still have to pay for each person that, or each computer that uses that software. There's some options that are about to happen. One is that I think everybody here is aware that the TIC is trying to establish statewide standards.
Right.
I got contacted today from someone at Department of Administration, and they're trying to swing a deal with Microsoft itself for a statewide license, and they wanted to know if we wanted to be a participant in that. And it's a little early in the game, but we certainly would be.
Look into it.
Yes.
Questions, Representative Cabino?
Madam Speaker, I submitted a minority report to this recommendation, and I did sit on committee and listen to the presentations. It would only be that we not go with this first buy of any 166s, and we go completely with all 200s. And the only reason I say that is, we seem to be, the problem we have is not that a Mac SE can't do the job, but its memory is too small and it gets much slower. It actually still does a lot of word processing. I mean, it's backwards. I mean, it's slower, but yet a few years ago, I mean, just a couple of years ago, it was like the in thing. So as much money as the difference is on the two, I would actually recommend that we just go with all of them, the higher value. That way you've got, you're not limiting anybody in your office. And we've got machines coming out this year that are as much as 500 megahertz. The other point is that the 200s have 32 megabytes of RAM rather than the 24. Every single computer that I've ever had, and I'm on my fifth one now, the reason that I went to get another one was really because the amount of RAM that you need in the computer continues the programs. It gets so complicated that you want more and more. And since it'll be 4 years before we replace these, to me, to spend $300 more on each one of these 41 other computers, where it may be much more useful that third and fourth year, seems worth the cost. So if I was recommending anything other than what the subcommittee did, that would really be the only thing I would say. Maybe it's wiser to spend the extra $300 and get all 200s. Other than that, I think the chairman did a very good job of working us through that.
Good. Senator Newman?
Madam Chairman, on that point, I agree with Representative Cabina. I think we're just dating ourselves with the 166s, and I actually think that I can buy 200s and probably for the price that you have down here for the 166s. And I know through the state procurement policy, you probably have to end up paying more than what the market price is. But I know about where they are, and I think we can beat that price. And probably by the time we do this, we can do it. And there's other equipment coming out. My advice would be not to limit ourselves. I think we're being foolish to do that. So.
Certainly, that's consideration. In my opinion, 166 model would be able to do the job that I think we need to do here over the next 4 years. And if you made those purchases, and we're only talking essentially 40 or so computers.
And another 12,000.
41 computers, which is
$12,000.
And you know, you could always phase, say, the 1998, the 69, you wanted to phase 200s in there versus the 166s, you know, after a year, you're going to find that the costs of the 200s are going to come down. So we're going to have you know, more power than what we probably will really need. I would submit that with 32 mega RAM and the existing software bundles out there, we're okay for 4 years.
Representative Senator Hall?
Well, today, in today's paper, Compaq said that they're dropping the prices of their processors by 45% already because of the new technology of the MMXs. So, you know, MMX processors, and I don't think that these ones were MMX, but by just that price, you know, I think that these prices are going to be substantially high because I think the industry is going to start following since the MMX processor came out in January. The value of these processors have gone down.
And that clearly is a point that I think we all recognize. And if you purchase the 65-200s and the 41-166s, we may find that next year when we phase in the next segment of 69 computers, that we're now operating on the low end with the 200 being on the low end, we may be able to get you know, an upper end model for the same price that we're purchasing the initial 200s for. So yeah, I mean, it's a fluid situation. I think on an annual basis we'll have to evaluate the price and cost and what you can get for your money.
Pete, does your cost, the 364-127, which would come for this, for 97, does that include, and Bill, you can address this too, does that include the rewiring for the building to make sure that the entire building, the system, can handle that? So we need to add that in also.
It does not, yeah, it's a separate project.
It's already been submitted.
Okay.
There's funds committed to that.
That was about $70,000, I think.
I've got it right here. Actually, we were asking for 55. I think we did up it to 70.
Okay.
Is that a fiber optic wiring?
That's what they're going to be doing over the interim when they rewire.
Okay.
Representative Cabina?
Thank you, Mr. Representative Davies brought to my mind, it doesn't appear like we have Netscape on our software standard, which I believe was the intention to be.
Representative Cott?
Well, I think we did agree that Netscape should be part of that.
It should be on, I think it's just software standard.
Okay.
And I sort of agree with something else that Pete said, in that it here's a list, a four-year list of what we're going to do. But that's just, as I look at it, that's just the plan and sort of the numbers and everything. But we're going to sit there next year, and we're going to analyze what equipment is out there. And we very well might buy a 166. I mean, we don't know. That's next year to make that decision of exactly, but it's going to be approximately this number that we're replacing and this many computers, but what exactly we replace it is, it's sort of a moving target, I would assume.
And for those who are members of this committee, I just might want to share this little memory. My first year down here working as a staff was the year that the Legislative Council decided to do away with all the PCs and go to Macs, and that was only 7 years ago.
This recommendation is somewhat industry-driven. I mean, I realize, you know, a few years back they did make a substantive change, but with Mac's financial state and the software development out there these days, it's just not worthy of addressing Macs any longer. I'm a happy user and owner of a Mac. I hate to be making this recommendation, but it's just a prudent one to make.
Representative Cabina?
And Speaker, I saw the numbers that we have, a total of $212,000, and even if we went, if we upgraded these other 41s to 200, it's 12,000 more. I take it as that is a sort of a moving number, or maybe that's a ceiling, and that the department's obviously going to go try to negotiate the best price they can get with the software that we want, et cetera, et cetera. And
okay, probably we should have a motion to adopt the subcommittee recommendations, and then a second motion to adopt a budgetary item of 364,127 to go into the capital budget for this year. So the motion first, adopt the subcommittee report.
And that's as amended with Netscape.
As amended with Netscape.
So moved.
There is a motion.
And could you restate the motion?
The motion is to adopt the subcommittee report as amended to include Netscape. Is there any objection?
No. Do you want a motion now to on the other 41?
I've made the figure that we need to amend or ask for 364,127, which includes the other 12,000. We don't need to worry about all the details. Just that's the number you want. Do we have a motion for a capital budget appropriation of 364,127?
So moved.
Any objection? Good. That would certainly be nice now if everybody on Ledge Finance is just, I mean, our finance committees are as agreeable.
I'd be more good.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Chairman, on that point, and Bill, I think you do this anyway. I'll tell them later.
Shop for the best deal?
Yeah. Yes. My advice is shop for the best deal. There's so much, you know, moving in the marketplace. And I know you have constraints under the state procurement, but my advice is do the best you can within these constraints, and I think you can beat the prices that you have budgeted. I know you can too. I know I can, and I know you can, with the big package, you can do even better.
Yeah. Representative Masick?
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to find out under the information service support, if we're still under discussion
sure.
on that.
Sure.
On the support for personally owned computers connected to the network will be phased out as the legislator implement desktop replacement systems. What's the time frame for that? Is that in the first year or
no,
4 year?
It was the opinion of the subcommittee that there's been a substantial investment by a number of legislators. I think there's 30 or 41 maybe computers.
Yeah.
In fact, there's 35 personal computers right now in the building. And it was our understanding that we should at least allow those legislators to continue using their personal PCs and to be supported as time and resources allow for the next 4 years.
Okay.
The final 35 computers, and again, it's a moving number, those are in fact replacements for the personal computers. And we're basically of the understanding that those members who have purchased their own personal computer would still want another computer. If that changes, or the makeup of this body changes, and that number would subsequently change as well. And Madam Speaker, for the committee's edification here on the overall cost over a four-year period to go to 200 megahertz versus 166, if that's what you decided to do, all the way through, there's about a $50,000
difference.
Difference.
And also, I would like to request that the feasibility of when we get rid of all these older computers and surplus them, I'd like to have a investigation on the feasibility of offering those to legislators and legislators' families for purchase, rather than going out, if we can do that in-house, rather than going out and putting them on an open-wide state, into the open-wide state procurement disposal system, maybe we can sell them to legislators.
I don't want money.
I know. Probably nobody does, but anybody that has little kids that are just starting, maybe it'd be a good, especially when they're $75.
Some of them are much better.
Yeah, don't get so snotty.
I'm not sure what the procedure is there. I think some of these machines are still valuable to the legislature, actually. And the purpose here is really to get them off the network.
Right.
But as standalones, they still can provide a function.
Sure.
So.
Sure. And that will, as the Rules Committee, certainly will look at that as we go through. But when machines are surplused, I want to know if we can surplus them to the legislature. Okay, the next item on today's agenda is the health insurance decision policy, and Senator Green was to prepare some kind of report for us, and I don't think that they did.
No. Are they going to? Speaker Phillips, we're not expecting a report from Senator Green at this time.
Okay.
I'd be glad to let you know what the agency has done. We also have Allison Elgee, the Deputy Commissioner from the Department of Administration, here to answer questions.
Why don't you go ahead?
Okay. Just like to let the Legislative Council know that we have reviewed many options. We tried looking into joining the university plan. That is not an option. It would skew their claims history, also their rate structure. The university said no. The university plan also does not cover dependents. The university employees self-pay for their dependents. We also looked at continuing our current plan with Aetna, and we talked directly to Aetna. We don't have insurance reserves. We also don't have specific rate history for legislative employees only. We are in the commissioner's plan along with other non-covered employees, and it would be difficult to pull that information out. We also don't have the staffing in our personnel to administer the plan. We already absorbed the payroll and personnel functions for the Ombudsman and Finance. The contract would probably exceed $1.5 million annually, and Department of Administration could not continue the contract with Aetna. This was a five-year contract which expired. They did go out to bid, and New York Life is the new contractor with the Department of Administration. We also looked at off-the-shelf, just individual policies. It's for medical only. It's usually based on age. This is with Blue Cross. It's more expensive. And then we'd have to, in order to have dental and vision, we would have to go to a group plan. We also looked at trying to get a group plan identical to our current coverage. And we are trying to work with Aetna now in order to get some of our census data on the legislature. We are working on that. And we're at odds at getting the information quickly, and we need to get into another plan by June 30th, and that is impossible in order to try and get this information pulled together and get on with another group plan. So if that is the will of the legislature, we could certainly look at doing that in the future. If we want to look at developing our own plan, look at developing a plan under Section 125. It's really estimated to take approximately 2 years. The amount of money that we would be looking at would require us going into an RFP process. Probably be looking at a contract that would be $1 to $2 million annual. We need a subcommittee to decide what the legislature wants. We'd have to hire expert consultants that are have some expertise in legal and also tax laws regarding Section 125. We estimate that cost would be about $100,000. And that does not solve our immediate decision that needs to be made. Our health insurance coverage, we need to decide what is going to happen, and we need to provide coverage for our employees by July 1. Effectively, we have two viable alternatives right now. One is to join the GGU plan. The other is to join the Flex plan. We do have some spreadsheets that were sent out, and those do explain the differences between the GGU plan and also the Flex plan. Coverage is the same under both plans for the middle of the road, but the Flex offers more options, including the medical reimbursement account. It is less costly to the employee in view of the out-of-pocket expenses under the GGU plan. And we also hear that GGU is considering joining the Flex plan in the near future. Maybe Allison can give us some more information about that. And we really need a decision made soon, in that May 19th starts the open enrollment, and we're going to have people leaving town, coming off the payroll. They need to make some decisions. And under the GGU plan, just to kind of recap it, that's 80% coverage. The premium is $501.50 a month. GGU employees will be paying $53 post-tax, and the state is paying what they've negotiated, $448.50 a month. To look at the Flex plan at 80% coverage, it'd be $400 a month medical, $69 a month dental, $20.50 vision, although under the Flex plan, the employee does have to sign up for the medical and the dental. The vision is optical, but to try and compare GGU and the Flex plan, that total is $489.50, comparing it to the GGU plan. And Flex for 80% employees out of pocket is $39.50 a month, and the state is paying $450 a month. I could let you know what it is for 90% GGU premium, 90% where it still is the $501.50 a month, and the employee opting for option one, that's $84 a month for a total of $585.50 a month. For GGU out of pocket, it's $53 post-tax and $84 for the SBS pre-tax for a total of $137 a month. The state is still naturally continuing to pay $448.50 a month. For the Flex, the 90% premium, the amount is $491 a month for the medical, the $69 a month for the dental, the $20.50 a month for the vision, for a total of $580.50. Flex, 90% employees out of pocket, is a total of $130.50 pre-tax, and the state is paying $450 a month. We did budget in our budget $461.60 for health insurance for FY98. $461.60. That's what we were told to budget.
Okay, in going through these, the flex plan, this first column is the one that is going out of existence now, so we don't even worry about that. The next column then is the GGU plan, and the three plans are considered, the last three are considered the flex plans, and our employees then would have the option of picking which option they wanted of the three, if we go to that plan.
We don't need to, Madam Chair, we don't need to make the decision today.
Not the personal one. What we have to do is decide which option to go. Do we go with the flex plan, or do we go with the GGU plan?
Well, you said employees. You mean all of us.
Yes. If we go with the flex plan, which is these three options, you could consider the first one the economy flex, the second one the standard flex, and the third one the premium flex. The individual employees then will have the option of picking which one of those three plans they want to participate in. Gene?
And if I might, Pam, I thought the standard commissioner's plan that we have all been in, that if you took the middle plan, we'd have everything the same and it would cost you no money.
You're talking about the flex plan?
Right. This one versus the standard.
That's not true.
No, we didn't know what the costs were until about a week ago, is the thing. That, I mean, the rest of the state employees will, the employer is paying the $450 a month. But there's still, if it shows the economy, then there isn't anything out of pocket, but the standard, there still is a plus $50, but you don't have to get, let's see, you're still going to have a little bit come out of pocket because if you want the dental but not the vision, there still is going to be a small charge.
$40 a month. So in other words, to keep the same plan that we got, everybody has to pay for it. Is it $40 a pay period or a month?
No, it is a month.
Okay, $40 a month, so everybody's going to start paying.
Unless they choose the economy plan.
Well, unless you want to reduce your
benefits. But our option is either to go with GGU or the flex plans. We don't have the option of staying where we are because that's going away.
Well, that's not exactly true.
Yeah, it is.
And the plan we have the option of funding this.
At $461.60 a person. No more.
That's what you're saying.
That's what's guiding our decision today. I mean, we don't have the money to individually set up a legislative health insurance plan on our own, I don't think. We need, what, $1 million to even...
Reserves?
Yeah. Plus how many employees, I mean...
We have 350 the low time, maybe 500 the high time, and I would think that they would look... that we probably have an older group compared to some groups too. When you look at what our makeup is.
Well, let me say it in a different way, Madam Chair. The plan, the insurance coverage that we have right now under the Commissioner's plan, it is the same as the select standard, the middle plan.
Virtually the same.
Virtually the same, but as of July 1.
It's going to cost
us. Our employees are going to have to pay $40 of that cost a month. $480 a year we're going to start paying of our own.
If you want that plan, yes.
If you want to keep your benefits the way they are. And I guess what I'm saying is we could decide that our employees would not have to pay that, that we would continue paying the cost of that same medical plan. In other words, the employer could pay that $480.
So 480 times, let's say 500, make it even, times 500. That's $25,000 extra that the legislature would pick up to cover legislative insurance.
If you keep their insurance the same way it is right now, I mean, for the same coverage.
It's my understanding that we would probably have to be pretty specific in the budget, saying that we are appropriating so much per employee for health insurance.
Representative Ogden?
I look at health insurance as something to keep me from a catastrophic amount of money that it's going to wipe me out financially, not to nickel and dime or every time I run to the doctor to pay the bill. So I don't have any problem paying a little bit of extra money for it. I'm happy to have it. I worked for years and years self-employed without it, and so, and I think if we increase our budget to pay for our insurance cost, and say, for example, for the rest of the state workers, so I think it's inappropriate that we would do that.
Okay. Further comments? Representative Masick?
What I would like to do is have a little more time to go over this and we get our other members back to the committee in a future meeting to...
I think we're really in a time crunch, because we have to put something in place for the employees by June 1st.
Okay.
And it's so danged hard to get this group together that the idea is probably we won't have another Ledge Council meeting before the end of session.
So what is the option then?
We adopt the flex plan.
The motion is to adopt the flex plan, which gives the employees, individual employees, then three options to choose from.
Okay.
We can make decisions later.
On the difference.
No, that could be separate motion.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
And that is separate from the discussion that
right.
we
and
had.
And that can come up at any time, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A motion is to adopt the flex plan. Any objection?
I'll object just so I can ask a question of Pam. A question came up last time about confidentiality records and appeals. This type of insurance, is there something that we have in place that we can at least allay some of those concerns?
Yes, I did check into that, and just to let you know what the current practice is on the appeals process is the employee first goes to Aetna through their claims processing. If that is denied, then they go a step up higher into Aetna. After they're denied that, the next step is to go to retirement and benefits. Then they could go to Division of Insurance, and then they could go file a suit in Superior Court. Under what the appeals process will be under the flex plan is same as before. They would go to New York Life. That would to the first processing, again to New York Life, a step up. Then they could go to retirement and benefits. The next step would be a peer review, and that would be the board that would could have some people that are representing who is represented with this flex plan, but that is optional. The employee doesn't have to go to that group if they do not want to, and then the next step would be to file suit, same as the other. So it is an option if somebody really felt that they wanted to have another review process.
Okay, the motion before the body is to adopt the legislative, for the legislature to adopt the flex plan for health insurance. Any objection? Okay.
Madam Chair.
Flex plan has been adopted. Representative Cabina?
Madam Chair, I also move that the legislature pay the difference between the employee cost and the standard benefit for those employees who so choose to take that.
The motion is for legislative council to recommend an additional $25,000 appropriation in order to pay the employee costs.
Madam Chair, the purpose of the college left objected. How did you come up with $25,000?
Because it's $480, so I rounded it off to $500 a year.
Times 40.
Per person, at the high numbers were about 500 employees.
I think 400 times 500 is about $250,000.
Oh, I thought $25,000. See?
I think. I got my numbers right.
So, Madam Chair, since I made a quorum for you, I thought you'd at least give me a vote. Madam Chair, just let me go on record as stating that I just disagree with lowering our standard of living. And that's what we're doing. We're either requiring our employees to take a lower medical benefit or pay the difference, and the difference is $480 a year, approximately. And that's what it is this year. Then next year it's going to be $530, and then the year after that it's going to be $640, and pretty soon.
You were pretty quiet. Clarification on the math, it is $250,000 extra a year for legislative council to pay, or to come out of the legislative budget. You should have.
Madam Chairman, what is the effect on the executive employees? Are they not faced with this requirement also?
No, they have to. The state is only paying the $450 a month, and also under GGU, they're only paying $448.50. That's what they negotiated.
We adopt the same plan. They're faced with the same thing that we would be asking our employees.
That is correct.
Well, Madam Chair, I'd make the motion to cover them too, but I can see where this one's going. So,
Representative Kabita, do you want to keep your motion on the floor?
I would, but a voice vote would be good enough for me.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No. Nay. At least everybody knows who the aye was, I hope.
You've done a good job, Representative Kabina.
Thank you.
Anything else to come before the body? Thank you all for coming. We are adjourned.